Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, my view is one of the main purposes of the debate, of any debate, is to look at the differences between the candidates. And without Tom participating, it really sort of defeats the purpose of a lot of the debate. So, we've got a strategy where we're reaching out to voters individually, going out and speaking in groups, and things along those lines. So I feel pretty comfortable with where we are.
I hate this decision. I'm not going to lie. I don't like it. And granted, I'm a junkie. I'm a political junkie. I'm the person who actually, on my own time, goes to watch candidate forums and goes to watch candidate debates. And it, for me, there's a lot that you can learn about a candidate by watching them, by seeing how they react, by seeing how they handle themselves, by just being able to hear from the horse's mouth what their policy positions are. I mean, isn't there any part that you think maybe that you're doing a disservice to the voters on this issue?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, that assumes that, the Denver Post equates to the voters, and I don't think it really does.
I don't understand that.
Well, I mean, so I'm not going to a Denver Post debate in a couple small forums. I mean, that's not necessarily the voters. I mean, yeah, it's a small portion of voters, but I'm spending my time, I think, elsewhere reaching out to people. In a pretty intensive way. And by the way, I'm happy to send you my schedule. You're welcome to come and ask me any tough question you would like.
I will. You better be careful what you invite, Scott, because I will come. No, so you're talking about doing individual reach out. Is there any forum at all or any opportunity for people to see you with the other candidates? Because I know that you and Mr. Tancredo have said, we're not going to do this, but the rest of the candidates are going to appear at some of these things. Is there any opportunity where the voters can have the opportunity to see you, kind of directly next to your competitors to kind of figure out what the differences are, what the nuances are, why you would be a better governor than, say, even Tom Tancredo or Greg Brophy or any of the people running against you?
Yeah, I mean, there are. Just in the last probably month and a half, well, I haven't been going to a lot of anything lately just because, I have a four-week-old baby.
Oh, congratulations on that.
Yeah, I mean, my wife and I, we figured we were getting too much sleep. So
I was going to say, really, because you could run for office and not have a baby and get the same amount of sleep, but now you've just doubled down on that.
Well, it's a blessing, and, running for office is wonderful. Having a family is really good.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I've gone to a couple events where, I'll speak and then, another one of the candidates will speak and things along those lines. And it's not necessarily a straight up debate. But where people are polite and ask questions and things work out fine.
Well, I like I said, maybe I'm a political junkie. I really just thought that this particular choice, my thinking is this, and you can disagree. You've been on the stump enough to make an informed decision about this. For me, the more access the voters have to the candidates, the better off the system is. Now, so many voters will not take advantage of that. So many voters will sit at home and watch 30-second ads and make a decision based on which 30-second ad they like the best. That frustrates me greatly because I think that they're shirking their civic responsibility. But for me, more access, more opportunities to sort of compare and contrast are good. But on the flip side, it's been said by Mr. Tancredo anyway that he also doesn't want to give ammunition to the Democrats in the general election. What are your thoughts on that?
I think there's real truth to that. And, that's not necessarily the reason why I'm not participating, but I'm not necessarily disagreeing with Tom either. I mean, the fact of the matter is when you're a front runner, the poll came out yesterday, and I'm feeling like a front runner, certainly. I think the evidence shows that. The candidates that, sometimes they're trailing in the back, they get a bit desperate, and what they start doing is hurling personal attacks and things like that. And you've seen that dynamic again and again. So I think Tommy has there's some truth to that.
Well, there's some truth to it in that, anytime you have anyone of any political party eating, kind of tearing each other down in a primary, and then you have to move forward to the general, when you've got a situation where you're running against an incumbent who's not going to have that same situation, there's a danger of that happening. But you know as well as I do that the Democrats right now, there's probably a team of people digging up opposition research on you as we speak. I mean, they may be listening to this interview, hoping that you say something that they can turn into a soundbite to be used against you. And so my frustration is, and I guess I should have this conversation with Mr. Tancredo more so than you, is that to use that as an excuse when we're talking about politics, which as of late has almost become a blood sport in some ways. I mean, just overall, even after you get elected, it is still challenging.
I feel pretty darn comfortable, all right, on my ability to parry attacks because I've gotten attacked more than anyone else by the Democrats for the last 3 years in office. It's not like I can't handle it. It's not like it's never happened to me. So you looked in the newspaper or whatever media report yesterday about me not participating in debates, you would have seen like two or three other stories in the newspaper as well about me, including the fact that the Democrats are trying to force me to raise business fees. And so they're attacking me along those lines. So I'm sort of live in this environment, and I'm used to this on a regular basis. I don't think I need a debate to learn how to deal with the Democrats. I've been doing it for, 5 years now on an almost daily basis.
I hear you. For me,
I mean, maybe some other candidates need it. I don't.
Yeah.
This is what I've had to live with over the last 5 years. And I mean, right now I'm in a fight with some of the Democrats in the legislature who are just furious with me because I've cut business fees in the Secretary of State's office, and they feel as though I'm thumbing my nose at them. They feel as though I should raise fees and because this breaks their brand, you know, gosh forbid if someone actually runs a government agency and improves services while cutting fees. So I'm dealing with that whole firefight right now. I'm used to this.
So how does this campaign shake out? I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm all in favor of everyone being kind and nice and not engaging in personal attacks. But how do you go about differentiating yourself from the rest of the field?
Well, for me, it's pretty easy. You know, among all the Republican candidates, you know, I'm the only one who's, you know, successfully actually run a state agency. And so a lot of folks, look, I mean, a lot of candidates, their stock and trade is hot air. I mean, because they haven't been in office. I mean, they say, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And that's what you can say. My difference is that I've actually done it. You know, so we want leaders who are going to, you know, say what they're going to do when they run for office and then actually go in an office and do it. And I said what I was going to do as Secretary of State, and I've come into office as Secretary of State and done it. You know, I can point to the fact that I'm the only one who's actually won a statewide race, and not by a little, but by a lot, and then I beat a Democrat incumbent at the same time. And we want people, I think, who will, you know, cut fees and reduce the regulatory burden that people face. And I've actually done that at the Secretary of State's office, improving customer service and cutting fees. And we want someone who's going to be pro-business and innovative and those things, and I've done that as well. So I feel pretty comfortable that just, you know, the record I have with what I've been able to do and what I can take going forward clearly differentiates me from others.
Well, I want to ask you one more question before we end our discussion. And that is simply, you mentioned the Quinnipiac poll that came out yesterday. And I actually think it's good news, the way the numbers stacked up, even though Governor Hickenlooper leads all Republican candidates in a head-to-head matchup. Before a primary, that's always how it looks. There's no, you know, because you don't have a clear front runner. What would you say was your advantage if you are the candidate for governor? What is your advantage when in a head-to-head race with John Hickenlooper, who right now you are losing to in head-to-head polling?
Well, first of all, I agree with you. I actually thought the numbers looked pretty good because people know so much about John Hickenlooper, and yet he can't get more than, you know, 45% or 46% to actually want to re-elect him. So it's going to be really hard for him to get those other folks who already know who he is and are not convinced. So I feel pretty good about the numbers as well. But here's my view on it. One of the things I think Coloradans and people want is they want someone who's got a set of principles and a vision for how we're going to take the state forward. I mean, I think that's what they want. And I think I've demonstrated over the time that I've got that. I mean, I've got the set of principles, and I'm willing to fight for them. And I have a very clear vision of what we want to do to, you know, improve our economy here in our education system. And that stacks up very well against John Hickenlooper, because if there's one thing he doesn't have, and that's a vision. I mean, his main emphasis for economic development was TBD, to be determined. I mean, that's the opposite of leadership. He signed every single bill that came to his desk. And in fact, he was missing for, you know, critical 3-4 weeks of the last legislative session, traveling. That's not leadership. That's not a vision. So when you make that contrast, I think of all the candidates, I come up very, very positively in that matchup.
Well, Scott, if I were, let's just say, to have all the candidates on the show at the same time, would you participate in that on the air? I mean, we could really get into some issues.
Maybe, probably not at this point. Probably not at this point. I mean, my focus really is in the convention. You know, I've got an election coming up on, April 12th, and that is the state assembly to get access to the ballot, to be nominated to the Republican primary ballot. And that's really what I'm focused on. So that's why my focus and strategy is reaching out to the people who participate in that, whether it's in groups, big groups, media, as well as individual. And so I can't tell you it would fit within that approach, but we'll talk.
There'll be donuts. There'll be donuts, Scott. Yeah, there'll be donuts, and I'll buy a lovely baby gift for the new baby. By the way, boy or girl?
Little boy, Eric Nathaniel Gessler.
Congratulations. That is the greatest thing in the world. Forget all this politics stuff. That baby is the best thing ever.
Well, whether you have a good day or bad day, being able to come home and see a little baby and a happy mommy makes everything worthwhile.
Scott Gessler, I appreciate you coming on. I will agree to disagree because it still aggravates me, but I understand your reasoning. I don't like it. So I just want to be upfront about that. And hopefully we can have you on the show for a longer period of time as we get closer and discuss more of your plans for Colorado.
Sure. And now do I need to start sending you schedules so you can show?
Yes. As a matter of fact, have your people put me on your email blast list.
We will do that.
Yeah, I'd appreciate it. Secretary of State Scott Gessler, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Have a great day. We will be back momentarily on Talk Radio 630 KHAL. But first, let's check in with Pat for the traffic. Talk Radio 630 KHAL, you've heard from the man himself, that's Secretary of State Scott Gessler, about why he is not appearing in debates. And I'm just curious. I'm curious if you heard the interview moments ago where he basically said, look, you know what? These forums are not that productive, and he has a point on that. Pat and I were talking at the beginning of the show. When I've been invited to moderate political debates or forums, one of the things I ask is, am I allowed to ask a follow-up question? Because I think a debate format where you have four people standing on stage giving 30-second answers with no follow-up questions sucks. It sucks. Because you're going to get the sound bites that all politicians have. Every politician that has a policy position has a simple, quick way to explain that policy position. It's just the nature of being on the stump. You're going to give the same answers over and over again. It is the follow-up question where you get to drill down and get information. But he said, they're just not that productive. And now with Tom Tancredo bowing out, you're not going to have a chance to compare all of the candidates mano a mano, as they say. I still disagree with it, but I'm wondering what you think. 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255. I think a better question to ask here.